Channel 1 right. Channel 1 over. Channel 1 over and beginning the visit with Ms. Guthrie and Shirley. Ms. Guthrie came back with us this Friday noon, the 4th of June, 1971. Channel 1 over and beginning the visit with Ms. Guthrie and Shirley. Ms. Guthrie came back with us this Friday at noon, the 4th of June, 1971. Channel 1 over and beginning the visit with Ms. Guthrie and Shirley. This Friday at noon, the 4th of June, 1971, Miss Guthrie came back with us, and she is tip-top. She feels fine. Channel 1 over, beginning a visit with Miss Guthrie and Shirley at lunch, the Friday, the 4th of June, 1971. Channel 1 over. Beginning the visit of Ms. Guthrie and Shirley this Friday at noon, the 4th of June, 1971.
Have a bite to eat.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah,
I've
already got it.
Oh, no.
Sit down. Sit down, Dan. Hush.
Oh, no.
Well, I tell you, it won't be much.
Don't you just love to smell onions?
Mm-hmm.
I love to go in the house and smell onions.
These are Jim's onions out of the garden.
But I can put them in my house and I can't smell them.
Well, I don't know that I like to smell them.
I like to go in the grocery store and smell them.
What'd you smell?
Onions.
Fresh
onions.
Yeah.
Well,
sit down and get your breath.
Well, I'm doing just that. I'm telling you, one day go by, and one of these days, I'm just going to get in that rocking chair on the porch and just sit there, rock.
You won't do it. Well, she
won't care. I said that time and time
again.
No,
she won't.
She won't even like to
do it. Well, it's cooler here than it is down that barn, is it?
Well, it's nice for... Well, it is right, fella.
Cool in here.
I tell you, it's cool where you get air.
Yeah.
And that sand picks up the heat. See, the sun back on that sand.
Much cooler here. Well, you've got all these nice shade trees. And our place is just sitting in the sun, drawing the heat.
You know, that catches a fella.
Can I help you any?
Just gonna put you in the tea down.
See? Miss Mess, talking about Marvin took his car over there Saturday. The Hawthorne have a service.
Yeah.
Now you all known that man a long time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for years.
And he'd been dead in bed for 2 weeks.
This is over Central, wasn't it?
No, Hawthorne.
Hawthorne.
At Middleton Service Station.
Oh,
no, Foots Webb.
Foots Webb.
I've
Went in there and the boy asked him what kind of oil he wanted.
Uh-huh, and he said, ask Foots. He said, Foots is the last one. It ain't been very long since I was there, and Foots greased it and serviced it. And he said, ask Foots. Said, Foots is the last one serviced. He said, no, Foots is gone. And Marvin said, where in the world did he go? He says, he's been dead and buried 2 weeks.
What?
I tell you, Faye, that really gets you. That really gets you.
But did it make Marvin sick?
You know, I don't see people for a while. I'm sort of scared to ask about them.
Well, he never dreamed that Foots was dead. Oh. Said he just wouldn't eat. He quit eating and he just drank till he died. He must have been terribly depressed about
something.
That's a curious thing. Now, where that woman lived you was talking about, I didn't know her.
Carlton Glisson's wife.
Lillian.
Carlton's wife?
Yeah,
Carlton.
That's what y'all talking about?
Lillian, yeah.
Somebody's going to go find her dead in the bed.
She's so depressed and bad off. She's the one I was telling you about a while ago that I thought you knew who Lillian was when I said Lillian. The ambulance came out and got her. Mrs. Guthrie came up in the yard and told me that Mary. But the ambulance came up in the yard up in her yard and took her into the hospital.
Yeah.
And then that night she went to the church services.
That's what Miss Glisson said. And I called Danya that night, you know. And I said, Danya? Yes, ma'am. And I said, how's your mother? All right, I reckon. And I said, you reckon? I said, you don't know? So she's gone to church. And I said, well, what happened today? And she said, I don't know. So she ain't said a word to me.
And she never even told her kids.
And yesterday I went to Loney's, and Loney was sitting out in the yard, and I stopped and I asked Loney, did she know anything? She said, I haven't seen no sign or nothing since I've been here, and I told her. And so I called Miss Glisson this yesterday evening and talked to her, and Miss Glisson, she said it was no concern of hers.
I didn't know who Liam was.
Yeah, I thought she was something else. No, she's in a very bad state. We're afraid she's going to either commit suicide or...
Going to take too many of them pills and kill her.
She's right there in civilization, isn't she? Right,
but she don't want anybody with her.
She don't want to talk to nobody.
I asked her a while ago. I said, Lillian, could I come over and sit with you? Or could I do something for you? Could I fix you something to eat? No, she said the doctor don't want anybody with me. Now, you know that ain't so.
It may be. You might have told somebody her. She doesn't need rest.
Well, she does, but somebody could be on the place and let her rest.
I don't think she should be by herself, no. I think somebody should be with her.
Oh, yeah.
But that ought to be family right now. Well,
now, what did they do? Everybody leaves during the day and she's out by herself.
See, Carlton, he's working at Disneyland.
He's gone day and night.
All week.
No,
and them girls come home yesterday evening and went and got in the car and took off to Gainesville.
And left her again by herself.
Well, they're grown girls.
Yeah.
I saw them down Miss Listen one time in the summer school.
Now, see, Danya graduates this month. So.
Golly, that's getting serious, Faye.
Well, yeah. And right, that's just right.
Oh, she's depressed. Have you talked to her?
Yesterday I talked to her.
She sounds so depressed and bad.
Oh, just to talk to her, she said.
Yeah, you can't hardly understand what she said.
Don't sound like her at all.
She's
real
so weak
voice.
In her tongue, you can tell that she's just doped up to a fare you well.
Hey. Well, these are not... Cold beans.
Shirley, the way you've been moving this morning, you need something.
I never eat lunch hardly.
Now you're going to eat more.
Well, don't give her anything. Give her a little salad.
I tell you, we did do quite a bit this morning. All right. I haven't made any beds or swept any floors, but we've been on the
Well, bed. I beat you. I made my beds, mopped out my room, mopped the kitchen and the dining room, put up some pickles.
Well, good.
Put out my washing.
Good God.
That's pretty good.
I don't understand that. You can see somebody be half dead one day, and the next day they're putting out a wash.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just got a good doctor.
And I'll tell you, she's been sick long enough.
How come you got that?
Hmm?
How'd you do that?
Well, I just stuck with Jimmy Davis.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, you couldn't stick with him for a while. He was pretty bad shape himself.
Well, yeah, he's in pretty bad shape now, so. But I'm going to Dr. Casey. Dr. Casey taking me over till he got back on his feet. And I got up all my medicine that I was taking from Dr. Daly and carried it to Dr. Casey. And Dr. Casey sat down and looked at it. He told me what each bottle was for, and he said, there ain't no need in the world in me writing you a prescription. He said, this is just what you need, and I couldn't give you any better medicine. And he said, if I was you, I'd go back home, and I'd take every dose of it. So that's what I done.
Well, I'll tell you, that's something.
Yeah.
And he could have thrown it in the trash basket, and it would have cost me, that medicine cost me $31. But he said that it was just what I needed, and he says, go home and take it. Because he said that's what's going to take to do you good. And that's what I'm taking. He did.
My God. My God. Now, when you can, yeah, when you can get some satisfaction like that. Now, Miss Bessie down here, you know, lives next to the baby, Bessie Jackson. They changed her medicine. She has some for high blood. And she was just dizzy and addled and sat in a chair, and she had faded down there, and little Bessie, they called her, was down there, and she didn't even know this.
Hmm. How old a person is she?
Oh, she's 90 years old.
90?
Yeah. But now she just quit taking it. And she got back to where she could, her mind would work. And they went back up there to the doctor and he said just
well, when Marvin carried me down there that Saturday morning and they put me in the hospital, I could see two Dr. Daly's, and there was a foreign doctor come and examine me, and I could see two of him, but I didn't tell them so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this doctor got through, and he went to the phone, and he called Jimmy. Jimmy hadn't got down there, and Marvin stood there, and was hearing what he said. And he told him what was wrong with my back, and he said, her blood pressure is sky high. And he says, what you want to do? Do you want her to stay in the hospital, or do you want her to go back home? And Jimmy said, if she'll stay, I want her to stay up here where I can take care of her. And he come in and told me, and I said, well, what Jimmy Daly says for me to do, that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is my doctor, and he knows what's best for me. And so they put me to bed and put the sides up, and the nurse said, don't you dare get off of that bed unless I'm here to help you. My blood pressure was sky high. They said I was just before having a stroke. Well, I'd been sick all night.
Now that burn stuff just shoots up without much
warning. It just goes up on me just right now.
And that's strange.
But you know it when it does it.
Yeah.
So you if you got enough, if you're not saddled.
I can tell it.
To get to the hospital, they can take care of it.
I can sure tell it when it goes up.
Well, now that happened to you on that beer and peanuts.
That's right. But I didn't have no beer and peanuts that night.
It was something else that time.
Yeah, something else I had.
You don't need some salt. You need some nothing.
Well, it's the same thing. It went up.
You better eat your dinner.
Well, you know, I haven't seen y'all so long. I'm just.
Y'all may not know it, but you're his favorite people.
Oh,
favorite people. Thank you. I was Miss Mary.
I never stand in there well with them, but they.
I don't know what in
the world. Oh, shit.
Bunch of
nuts.
Two nuts like we are.
I never did get along with people.
We belong in
a
circus
somewhere. My favorite people. I had favorite people before, and I never, they never, they always. I wasn't their favorite people.
How do you know what you ain't our favorite people?
Yeah.
Dog
after a day like today, then come over here.
Has he been working at your house?
Mm-hmm. He came over and helped me try to get an old towel out of there. That was the hardest work we've done all day.
She's had a morning. Charlie, what happened to those people? They just bought everything you had out there.
Mm-hmm.
Why, Shirley?
They weren't going to buy the two little bulls.
Yeah.
And for $10 less, they took the two bulls.
Yeah.
So I got my money except for the $10 that I cut down on the two bulls. But those two bulls weren't worth $100, neither one of them.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't pay $100 for either one of them, $100 each.
And see, our conscience doesn't hurt her a bit, Miss Mary.
No, not
that's why we
I feel like it was a good price, don't you? Six head for $675. And there was some nice heifers, those big ones.
Oh, yeah.
Six head for $675. That was a good price, Miss Dot.
For little calves.
Yes, sir. You ain't got nothing to worry about
there. Two in there that was November calves.
But you had
March, April, May, June.
That's
my golden
ones. I got the mines.
Oh. The little ones were sort of scrawny looking, but the big ones you put in there were
made up the difference.
So
I don't think that I think they got a fair buy.
Well, did they?
For pounds.
Did they talk like they knew what they were doing?
Yes. Yeah. She's been raising calves on a milk cow.
Oh.
So she's pretty well experienced.
I wish
she had eight. She
sold my calf.
You got a calf, Sadie?
We should have put it in the ring with the rest
of them.
What?
That's the truth. I hate that little booger. I just hate him.
Which one?
That motherless one.
And you hate to take off the
side. Oh, a motherless.
You all want some? I don't have any cornbread. You all want some just plain bread?
I wouldn't care for
it. No, thank you. I don't ever eat bread.
I'm not supposed to eat.
And we're the size we are.
Here.
We don't eat meat.
Oh,
bread.
They fuss at me. They fuss at me.
May I eat some of this?
No, I better not.
You can't have it? I'm sure you can.
I got plenty here.
They fuss at me about eating.
There's nothing here that.
Who does that?
The doctors. They want me to lose.
Well, now, some people just don't lose
easy. I don't.
I can smell it and gain weight.
Yeah.
I don't. I don't lose.
Berman says he doesn't know how to wear. I got the size of him because I don't eat. You know, I don't eat half the time. I'm on the run all the time.
Yeah.
I'm on the go all the time. It's just, but I tell him I can gain weight just smelling it cook.
Yeah, now look, Miss Mary.
On the vapors.
She just look at her. Maybe it's a dress she got on or something. But she looks like she could lose a few pounds.
Yeah, they won't make to lose.
Just a little make a big difference, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How much they want
you to lose? Well, they didn't say. They said get some of it off. I lost 3 pounds.
They just impressed. But I was wanting some pool beans.
I put
off
3 pounds.
Here.
So they said that wasn't enough.
Vegetables.
Do you check it every day?
No. But they do when I go.
And that's discouraging. When you want to lose weight and check it every day. That's just, I don't get on the scale for a week at a time.
Check it first thing.
Yeah, that's more encouraging.
What happened to that little calf that you got there?
Marvin had to kill its mama.
He did kill her?
He destroyed her.
She
we kept her 2 months, and she never did get up.
Oh, couldn't get up.
Yeah, she was a monstrous cow, Black Angus. Boy,
really?
She was
good,
a good-looking cow. The vet had to come out and deliver the calf.
He was a big old Charley.
Oh. Oh. Well, now, I've heard other people have trouble with Charley.
Mm-hmm. It's inhuman to breed a cow with a Charley bull unless she's a Charley cow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it?
Oh. Yes, ma'am. The calves is too big.
The bones. They're much bigger than a Hereford.
We had to have the vet out there and the calf head and 2 front. I guess this will make y'all sick, though.
Well, I don't know.
But anyway, he had put the calf back in the cow.
Yeah.
And so we finally got the calf out. And then the calf was dead, and we beat it and frammed it and slung it in the air and done everything and got it freezing, so I carried it. Wrapped it up in a quilt, carried it to the house, and put it in the sunshine, and I washed it. Sent Marvin to McIntosh and got me a bottle and some milk, and I fed it.
Yeah.
But he is so mean till I hate him.
Oh, they do get mean, don't they?
And I got me a bucket. And you know that rascal, he'll take that bucket away from me, and he'll spill that milk all over me, and he's the meanest thing I ever seen. I despise him.
They're hard to please when they're pets.
He ain't no pet. We don't pet him. We just feed him and let him go.
And don't pay no attention to him.
Not pay no attention to him because I'm getting rid of him just as quick as I can.
Do you have plenty of that feed for him?
That dry milk?
Yeah.
I have to buy it.
Well, would you like a little extra?
Yeah.
I've got some sitting right there in that sack that I just love to get rid of.
Well, I could sure use.
And it wouldn't cost anybody a cent. I'd almost pay them. I'll tell you, we had these two little heifers that's got bred at a year old. And I thought, well, sir, I'll keep them for a month or two. The calves get big enough. And I got this stuff, and I thought I'd supplement their ration, you see. Why, it is enough trouble. One of them calves, I'd give it that nipple, you know, and look like he would just turn handsprings.
Yeah.
He'd just collapse, and eyes would wall.
And you know that he thinks that Marvin's his daddy?
Oh! Or his mama?
Yeah. He don't care a thing in the world about me. But he'll run and kick up his heels and just follow Marvin all over the pasture.
One.
And he's into everything that Marvin goes to do. He thinks that that's his daddy.
Marvin's only daddy he's got, isn't it?
Only daddy. He knows he's got another daddy, but he don't know it.
Most laughing guys done in a month. I wish y'all would come over every day.
They get mighty solemn sometimes.
I tell you, when we work as hard as he does. Oh, shoot.
I tell you, when you get solemn, that's what makes things go so hard.
You get a heck of a lot done, man. That's me. Barbara says, it's a good thing I make you mad once in a while. The beds get made around here. Well, a lot of times I get busy and doing something else, and I'll leave my bed the last thing, you know. Especially when I change the linen. And then, if we had a quarrel or something, the first thing I do is go ahead and make the bed, you know. Do something to do.
Let Marvin take care of that calf.
Well, he's not there all the time, you know. Sometimes he has to leave before the calf comes up, and then I have to feed him.
Oh, really?
But I always have a fence between him and I.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he'd take me down if I didn't. He's much of a man.
He growing?
Yeah, he's fine. He's 2 months old.
Well, you have to keep him until he gets it. Weighs a good deal.
I wish I'd known you'd had that calf. I contributed one.
We got one of that.
Yeah.
You have.
At that time.
Yeah, that's that little one that was on that job.
Michelle came by here, and then she talked about her problems and all like that over there, and her monstrosity.
I didn't have any problems.
I sold her that. That was the spindliest calf that's ever been on this place.
But she looks like she's coming out of it, though, good. Not as big as the others.
Pretty big.
I don't like to raise a calf. They're always so mean, you know, and they're so much trouble. I've raised lots of them, but I don't like to.
Oh, you have?
Yes, sir.
Oh, no, I do like to. I don't like to
raise them.
I like to know that your work is, I don't know, it's so much more gentle than the others. They want to play all the time, you know, or go just the opposite way. They're stubborn. They know how much you'll take and how much you won't take of their.
Now, how did you get into raising calves before this?
What, just had cows and they died and left the calves.
So you just...
And I bought two and I raised them from Nesman's Dairy. That's the one I stole from Sight.
Yeah.
Had the sheriff on dummy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was supposed to have stolen one of her...
Two of them.
That was a Holstein.
Holstein bull from Lulabelle and Bob Sykes.
They had one just like hers, and they got stolen. They thought she stole their boy.
And they saw them over at her house?
Mm-hmm.
I raised them right there in the backyard. They had a pen.
Yeah.
I brought them over here at Nesman's Dairy, bought me a bull, and paid $8 for him and $10 for the heifer.
Has been some time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when he got grown, why then they come over there and was claiming him.
Why, Miss Mary?
Said, Bob, I'm sorry you lost your calf, but I said, I kept records on mine. And I said, come in the house and I'll show you. And I can also call Mr. Nesbitt's dairy and find out. Oh, no, no, sir. No, if you say it's yours, it's yours. I said, well, everybody around here knows it.
Yeah.
So next morning, I just sat, got up when here come the sheriff. And he come in there and said he come after the calf. I said, you better not bother my calf. I told him, I said, I happen to know whose calf that is and how I got it, and everybody around here knows it. So I just went to the phone and I called Mr. Dodd, and Mr. Dodd was there in just a few minutes. And he went out there where they were at. He told him, he said, I know all about that calf. But they didn't carry it off. The sheriff said that, well, it would have to be carried to court and be proved. And I said, well, while you're carrying it to court, you better not move it. You better leave it right there where you found it.
Is that some of your friends?
Marvin's old first cousin.
I never heard of anything like that.
Where they live?
They live at Cow Hamlet, between Island Grove and Cross Creek.
You haven't had anything like that?
No, boy, that'll be the day. I'll tell you.
Marvin's cousin.
Yeah. I don't think he's a favorite cousin, though, is he?
No, I tell Marvin every once in a while, I tease him about it, and I say, you sure have got a cousin, but they ain't nothing to me. He said, you just shut your mouth.
Yeah. Sykes. What did he do?
What did he do? Lives off the welfare.
He used to catfish, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Oh, did he?
He quit that, though.
Yeah.
Just more on welfare.
Look, your neighbor down there, the Bognites, they're working all the time, regular, aren't they?
Yeah, they catfish every day.
Now, who is the fella, is it Marvin's brother who lives way back there and catfishes? And his boy
Dorsey.
Dorsey's quit catfishing, and you know what he does?
No.
Taking care of racehorses.
Oh. On his plot property there?
No, in Gainesville.
Taking care of racehorses. Well, I do know.
Work 7 days a week.
Well, he won't last long at that, will he?
He won't. Martin said, I'd give him 2 weeks, and he might last 2 weeks, but I doubt it.
We tried to get him to take care of the milk cow for us one day. We were late in Orlando, and we tried to get him to take care of the milk cow. I don't know where Marvin was. We didn't get him. But anyway, Dorsey was supposed to come over and take care of the milk cow for us.
Yeah.
And when we got in, it was the day Daddy was married. We took the kids and Ruby down to Tampa, you know, and left Ruby at Tampa, then came home. It was 9 o'clock when we got home, and he was supposed to milk the cow that afternoon.
Well, I imagine he was drunk.
When we come home, you never saw such a mess in all your life. That barn looked like it was tore upside down. The feed drum was all turned over. The cow and the two cows was out in the wrong pasture, and the horse was in where the cow was supposed to be, and the bulls was in there fighting in the barn. The pitchfork was turned upside down. So one of them ran it through them one another. I tell you, I never saw such a mess in all my life. No milk. The milk bucket's still sitting on the drum. The cow wasn't milked. Calves running everywhere, in and out of the barn and all over the place. And none of them had sucked the milk cow. So I ran to the house and I asked Dorothy, I said, what happened? Miss Dodd, I just couldn't get that cow to milk her. All he had to do was put the feed into the trough and shut the head station on her.
Wonder what he did. Try to run her down?
I don't. It looked like he had her by the tail.
He might not have known how to handle a cow.
Well, he don't.
Oh, I never saw such a mess.
If you haven't handled cows, it's not.
He don't know.
But he told us he did.
I doubt if he knew which end the milk.
He told us he did.
People always tell you they know things when they.
It's so simple, I guess they figured.
It's so simple, yeah.
And boy, they didn't make them. And we couldn't handle that cow for 2 weeks afterwards. I don't know what he did with it. And I bet that she didn't get any more milk to fill that glass when we did get it, because she's so nervous.
I walked up there.
I heard that Dorothy was going to do that, and I think to myself, well, of all things, how come them not get Dorothy?
I don't know. I don't remember why. But,
if he's ever milked a cow in his life, it's more than I know.
I remember it was the last resort because we were afraid, you know, that things would go wrong with Dorothy was there. But I don't know why.
No,
what
no,
happened
no,
that we didn't get
exactly.
Marvin or Faye, or Faye usually, if we can't get Marvin or if Faye is there, she'll offer to come down and milk the cow, you know. But she does a good job. It takes her 2 hours to milk the cow, but at least she knows how to shut her up and keep order in there. But and which cow to attack? I think he tried to milk the bull.
He probably did.
I'm telling you, I was so disgusted. It took us a long time to clean up that mess. Medicine bottles broke all over the place.
I was back there one day, the only time I ever saw Dorothy, and I don't remember now what I was back there for. And I parked my car out there. Faye was with me, I think. And I walked up to the door, and the boy, the one that got hurt.
Me.
Golly, what you reckon you told me was it? She called me a while ago, and she said, I'm telling you, I cleaned up my house last night. I said, what do you mean? She says, I run Wayne and, what's that other boy?
Alan, buddy.
She says, I got both of them to go. She said, I run them all and dared them there. She said, they're smoking.
Uh-oh.
That. What do you call it?
Pot.
Huh?
Marijuana?
No,
pot.
They call it, she called it some kind of grass.
Grass.
She said they went to the circus, and she said that she found out that they were smoking it.
Did they have it there at the house?
I don't know. And I said, Julia, I said, I went left Miss Patterson's yesterday evening, and I met Wayne along there by where Marlo and Clarinelle is, and I said, honest to goodness, I was scared. I said he was driving that path. Said he was drunk, and said he weren't drunk on liquor either. But she said, I naturally got him to go. I said, well, you ought to done that a long time ago.
Could anyone tell me what has gone wrong with just plain old liquor? Why, when I'd grown up, anybody was satisfied with a drink of liquor.
Can you just explain to me what in the world is wrong with the people? These are the younger generation. What in the world, what do they mean? They just gone to the dogs. There ain't no harm in taking a drink of liquor.
We never thought it was.
There ain't no harm in taking a drink of a can of beer.
You don't want to get drunk out in public, but people have been drinking for a long time.
Mr. Miles, when I was a kid, my daddy was section foreman on the railroad.
Oh, really?
And I can remember the Cottrell boys. There's a family of Cottrells there, and they was grown. And it wasn't nothing to see one of them come walking down the railroad drunk, but they didn't do like people does nowadays. Well, I reckon they didn't have cars. But they'd sing and sit down and play the guitar, you know. And nobody didn't bother them, and they didn't bother nobody.
Yeah. Out there, you might say, minding their own business.
That's right. They'd get off to themselves and mind their own business and probably get out and holler and hoop, you know, and sing loud. But people don't do that now. They got to get in the car and see if they can kill somebody or get killed.
Yeah. Well, I remember fellas on Saturday night, you see, from Saturday's always a big day, first Monday. And that little town where we live, we'd see them about dark or 4 o'clock, they'd start heading on back to the country, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, you know, couldn't quite...
Leave the pub.
My daddy used to order it and keep it in the house all the time, and I think I'm about the only one that ever got drunk. But I did every once in a while. I'd slip some, you know, and I'd drink it and I'd get drunk.
For the cooking.
Yeah. My daddy never did get drunk. He didn't drink it that often.
Yeah.
You could order it and keep it. He kept some in the house all the time.
Yeah.
Well, most everybody did.
Sure they did.
You know, I blame the younger generation all along for the way things were turning, and that smoking and drinking and marijuana and all that.
That's right.
But now I don't. Not since 2 weeks ago. Berman and I were sitting around the house one Friday night, and he said, about 2 weeks ago, he said, maybe, he says, if we get out and go someplace, you'll feel better. And he said, we haven't been to a movie in a long time.
Uh-oh.
He said, let's go to a movie. And, well, we hadn't been in years, except Walt Disney productions. You know, one if a favorite comes around, the kids want to see, we'll take them right away to a Walt Disney production.
Now, this was all right, yeah, the whole family.
No, this is just Berman and I. He wanted to take me out of the house and get me out of depressed. And I was going through one of those things you quoted a while ago where you felt some...
Starby's
yeah. So I told him, I said, all right, I'll go. And I didn't feel like it. Didn't want to go, but I went. It was pleasing. And he said, what picture will we go see? And I said, I don't know. You just take a pick, one movie show or the other. Well, we looked over on the paper about the Suburban, and the one on Highway 20. And we'd seen that picture years and years and years ago. So he says, let's go to the other
one. That's the one you ought to see.
Yeah, he says, let's go see the other one. And I said, all right, this is out in the Suburban. Well, we'd been there years ago, and it seems a good picture. So we drove out there. And from the title of it, it sounded like it was a funny Western picture.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't remember what, and there were several titles, several pictures playing, the short pictures. Well, we drove in, and I was never so shocked in all my life. It was one of these sex adult pictures, you know.
Uh-oh.
And if we didn't get into one mess. But I told him, we sat there long enough to get the gist of the movie, you know, this first picture. And it was about this marijuana, smoking marijuana and pot and all that stuff. And it was nothing but a big pushover for that stuff.
Uh-huh.
For that, the sale.
Mm-hmm.
To promote the sale of that
yeah.
dope. And it showed what a big time they would have on these trips that they'd be on, you know, how they would react, what they thought, what they saw. And they couldn't stand to wait to get in, you know, from one trip to the next trip. And they could only go so long before they'd have to have the stuff again. And, oh, it just made a beautiful story about what a young child, a young girl or a young boy would want to see. In that line. They shouldn't say, but they more or less wanted it.
The way they'd
they
like to look at
it. They promoted it by showing all this background. But now, who makes those pictures? They're the ones that's really pushing us the whole thing. I think those are the ones that need to be hung up by their toes.
Yeah,
Because
and you know, the court gets it all tangled up to where you can't stop that.
I never knew they made such pictures. When I saw that, I was just shocked. Boy, Bonnie will never go into it. My kids will never go to a picture show again unless it says Walt Disney across it. I'm telling you that.
Art Linkletter says that the television is what's ruining the young people and the movies.
Is that what he says?
That's what he says.
But he don't know. He's in it, don't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's fought that there marijuana and stuff.
But they used to ban all such pictures as anything like that. And when I saw this on the screen, and there's no bones, there's no
mm-hmm.
holding back anything. It's all open. And it just shocked us to death to think that they put such a thing on the screen for young. And there was kids not as old as Johnny walking around in that movie there.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
They got no restraint.
Nothing.
They got the children,
everything.
You know. They just show them the suggestion, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. And the more they see it, the more they'll go back.
That's not even suggestion.
that's showing.
I bet you you'd be surprised if you know how much. If your boys was just, Danny was to tell you.
Yes.
Some things that he learned in school.
Yes.
They show on television and they teach them everything. And
I know Bonnie's aware of things. she picks up anything. I mean, she's just that bright, you know, she can pick up anything first. But she doesn't ask questions, she just gets a book and studies on the matter, so she knows it thoroughly.
Yeah, but she'll get into it. She'll get it straight.
Yeah, but the boys won't take that much time.
Leave
it
there.
Say, let me do these.
No, let me tell you.
Yes.
Now, Dorsey might stick.
Do which?
He might stick with that
job. No, he won't. He's never did that.
You know,
stuck with anything.
I'll tell you what, that horse business is so regular.
You don't know anything about horses.
If you just stand there and rub a horse, it's tiresome.
Yeah.
Faye, I hear her and the rest of them talking. They come out here ride the horse, but they never will rub them down.
Yeah.
Now that's these able-bodied people.
Mm.
He's able-bodied, but he's a little past his prime, isn't he?
He's not so able-bodied, I don't think.
Yeah.
He's kind of frail.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, that day I was there, I forget what I went for, but the boy was there, and I forget what he was doing.
Nothing.
But, no, he wasn't doing anything. He was sitting in a chair, wheelchair or something. And Dorsey's wife came to the door, and she looks like she was the vice president, didn't she? Of the chicken farm, wherever she works. She was nice, I mean to say.
Well, she was, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm. She was a foreman, I guess you'd call her, over at that chicken farm. She worked her way up where she was doing pretty good. But she's working over at Cream Donut, Crispy Donut.
She was, I don't know.
They shut that place down now. She lost that job and she's working over at the donut place.
But you know, I heard they opened it up again.
Yeah, but she's still working over at the donut shop.
Yeah,
she didn't go back.
So Dorsey came out here, and I talked to him a long time, and he talks nice. I like to talk to him. But now wait a minute. But he didn't look like he's any horseman. I mean, that takes right smart vitality, that horse business. The horses, you see themselves, have got so much energy. A man has to have right smart energy to You take these two colts out there. You wouldn't want to send somebody with a sprained ankle out there to handle them.
Have you ever had anybody on the backs?
No.
No, they're not. They're just a year old.
They are?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It'll be some time.
Boy, they're going to be tremendous size. I saw them out there frisking when I came up for
you did.
Just frisking.
Oh, they were. That was a picture to see. I couldn't help. I almost ran into a tree watching them. I thought, well, I better put
the
guard.
They do all
the
time.
Oh, they were
right
just,
together.
Yeah. One, you know, with his head back over the other one's neck and trying to grab at him as they were running. It was just as pretty as a picture.
They can't stand there without nipping something.
How can they eat when they're both together like that, man? Mine's full of play all the time. I don't know how in the world they can
just separate them.
They must be a wonderful just to sit and watch them.
I don't know. That catfishing, that's sort of a hard job, too, a steady job, too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
How'd the boat nights keep at it so much? Make a living?
I don't know. That's all they've ever done.
To me that lake could give out a catfish.
Yeah.
And you
they
know that lake
that
is surely going down.
I know it is.
I went down to 20 Brothers one evening this week. And hits way
down. I bet
down.
It is.
All right, this, now the other fella who has, he got the reputation of really being a fisherman. Your friend. He lives in the trailer where we stopped.
Marlo.
Now, Marlo has a reputation for fishing. I've heard since, I sort of halfway got it. I never seen him. But I've heard people talk about him fishing from way back.
I heard something other this morning on the radio about Cruz. Cruz saying something other about an alligator. Did you get that?
I haven't heard the news before.
And they said we will tell it again. But I never did hear him tell me. Something other about somebody had killed an alligator. And I don't know whether somebody ran over one on Payne's Prairie and killed him or not. But anyway, Cruz was saying, Game Warden Cruz was saying something other about an alligator. It was on the news.
I lost track of Marlo's wife. What's her name?
I know. We all did. She left town.
She left town?
Where did she go? You know?
Up yonder at Live Oak. She was down here the other day with him. He brought her down here.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he brought her back down here, and she cleaned up the trailer for him, and she went to do this and stayed a day or so. Marlo went back by duty.
I bet they get back together again.
Marlo went back and tried to get her to go back, and she said no, she'd come to stay there, then she's going to stay. You know what Teresa told me? Teresa said Marlo had stood her up 3 times.
No wonder she doesn't care about Kelly.
He asked her to go to the
show. Asked Mrs. Bass.
3 times killed. And said he never did go in either time. And I said, don't you know that Marlo ain't going to go with nobody but Carnell?
Well, that's something, isn't it? You mean all this time now, and he's not philandering or anything?
Mm-hmm.
He's not stepping out or anything.
He stepped out before him. Carnell ever left him. He had dates.
He was going with that lady over there in the Faircloth?
Faircloth.
Over in Island Grove.
Is that the reason she left?
She's a widow and has 8 kids. 6 or 8 kids.
Oh, I remember something like that.
He was dating her.
But after they got the divorce, I think he put her in the clock.
What in the world?
Yeah. He don't care nothing about nobody but Clarinelle.
And then
Mr. Kelly's wife died 3 months ago, about 3 months ago, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Bass has been dating a few times Mr. Kelly.
And the Sunday she went with him, and he wrote all, she said he just showed her off. The people at Cross Creek, and she didn't like that. Did she tell you about that?
She,
Oh, he showed her off.
Yeah, he drinks quite a bit, and, I don't know, she just...
What, do they all drink down there?
Evidently, but I said, we're squares.
They all drink down there?
Mervyn says, well, to be in the neighborhood, he says, I'm going to go get a bottle of this apple wine and put the icebox. He said, when everybody comes, I'll open it wide and shut it.
Yeah.
The
Guthrie died. Oh, shoot.
Well, that's... I don't know. I don't think she cares much for Mr. Kelly.
Well, sir, I tell you, This has really been a dry May, has it? Have you had any rain at all?
No. We haven't even had enough of rain to even plant a hill of corn or peas.
I was going to ask you, what have you planted?
We haven't planted a thing. Just waiting for it to rain, and we got fertilizer to put out. There's no use to put it out. And as dry as it is, let it lie out there in the hot sun.
That sun really makes it.
It sure does. Martin's got his field there fixed for some peas.
I noticed it.
And I'm going to plant me some corn if we get some rain.
Oh, wouldn't that be fine?
Some okra?
You haven't seen old Woodard Coleman any time, have you? Is he all right?
I saw Woodard about a week ago.
What I was thinking about, I might get him to put in a few sweet potatoes for me down here. I got a nice little field there where I could put them in. I don't mean get him to do it, but you know, he knows how.
Yeah, are they high?
I know. I won't buy them. They're too high in the store.
Have you had any of his? Have you had any Woodard sweet potatoes last year or so? I had some sitting there last winter, and they were just as good as any sweet potatoes I thought.
Oh, they were wonderful.
Just sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
They cooked up juicy.
I don't know what's the matter with Berman. I love sweet potatoes, but he doesn't like them.
And they
he won't eat them.
So it's
Marvin don't either.
And you won't buy them, but
and
I
love
them, I think. But they are so high, I didn't buy them myself. They're just ridiculous.
You, you know, that's shameful. I went to the store with Granddaddy, Daisy's cousin, Ben, and the only thing he bought over there, he bought a pair of breeches, and he bought some sweet potatoes. Just a little bitty old sack.
Yeah.
And it had 3 or 4 sweet potatoes in it, and he paid 60 cents for it.
Oh, my, that's higher than what
we ought to go down there and get some tomatoes.
Or hookers?
Mm-hmm.
They sell them now?
Tomatoes.
Is that in our exchange?
A bushel. How much is a bushel? They're 20 cents a pound.
I want some tomatoes.
Yeah, they're gonna open up and sell them by the bushel here pretty quick.
Yeah, well, they may be open up now, but they, you know, they got good many ripe ones, and they said I bought some Monday.
Well, now where is it?
Where'd you buy them?
It's between you and O'Keller.
You go down after them?
Yes, sir.
Boy, I just love tomatoes.
Got me a bushel of peas and shells.
Oh, well, get some, I like to get them by the bushel. And they're just going to open well, up in the next few
too.
Days. I think it's what, $1 or $2? $1, wasn't it? $1 a bushel.
Well, now here's J.I. Hooker Reddick.
Reddick?
That's it, isn't it? J.I. Hooker?
Yeah, there's just one Hooker in here. That's the other is Hooker. So that must be 591-1945. I'll call him and ask him what they got.
Good.
He's on my exchange. Why don't I just ask him?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad you thought of that.
I know they're selling peas or beans or something over there, but I want
cucumbers
the tomatoes.
And tomatoes and squash.
Oh, really?
Arsh potatoes.
I don't know how that thing
is. I know he's selling them by 20 and 20 cents a pound. But I want the bushel.
And they're homegrown?
They're the size of that dish.
And homegrown?
Yeah. You go out there and pick them off the vine. Pick you a bushel for $1. That's what we did last year. But we went to the last tail end of the season. We got 2 or 3 bushels.
You
want
to talk to them then?
No. You go ahead.
They were beautiful. We got the last one. I didn't know about this place over here. I think you told me about it one time, and I don't know why I didn't.
I feel so bad about living. I'm afraid something might happen to her.
Don't worry about it, because I run myself crazy thinking about it. And it's not our place. We can't do nothing about it.
I can't.
She's young, isn't she?
Yeah, she's, what is Lily, 45, 50?
I don't know.
Well, she's, yeah.
But you can't do one thing for her.
And how many children does she have?
Two.
Two
girls.
She's got a boy married.
Oh, I see. And then a girl.
You know, I forgot about Jimmy.
Yeah, but you know, her girl, Susan, is younger than Johnny. Oh, no, she's
was
got
Bob in again?
No, he couldn't get them
out. Just couldn't get
them
out. They probably out in the field. Got a grown son.
Mm-hmm.
And then Susan.
And then
two girls.
And Susan. Donya's graduating.
But you know, she could die right there in the bed. And nobody would know nothing about it.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's conflict there between father and daughters, and between mother and daughters, and wife and husband.
Good Lord.
Well,
Miss
Bishop told
me that God wouldn't hold cause for Lillian's condition.
There's nothing we can do about it. The only thing that can help
her
is
something for.
There's nothing we can do for her. And if we get mixed up in it, Miss Guthrie, we're going to be in trouble.
Ms.
I want to do something too, but there's nothing anyone can do except to call him and those girls to bring her out of this.
Ms. Lesson said what caused it?
Carton was the whole cause of it.
No, no,
well, he's such a big handsome fella. He ought to be going around causing trouble, ought he?
You sound about as sophisticated about him as he does himself, doesn't he? Said that. He knows he's big, handsome, and beautiful. He's like,
oh,
man.
Oh.
That's that self ego. Is that right?
Well, I know the other boy.
JC.
Yeah, Jake.
They say he's a darn nice fellow. I don't know. I don't know him that well. I've met him a few times. I wouldn't know him if I seen him. There's something about him I just don't ever... I don't know. Some people you get to know and others you don't. We just never was...
He used to be a nice fellow.
Oh, is that right?
He's so damned important now. He wouldn't even recognize his uncle.
Yeah. Well, that's the way Carlton is. Only he's nothing to be important over. But his old Model T, is that right? He's in love with that
how
Model
come,
T.
How come JT so important?
He going abroad. He takes an airplane to Europe.
Yeah. And his mama's important too, but I know the time when they didn't have as much as I've got.
Was she always like she is now?
Absolutely.
Domineering like she is?
I don't know what you'd call it.
You know how she got that place at Cross Creek?
That's a story now.
Oh, it is.
It's a true story. I know it just is. I know all about it, and Marvin does too, and everybody else.
Well, how's it run?
Hoyt Heyman and Hoyt Heyman's brother owned that place. And somehow or another, they couldn't get it divided. Hoyt wanted to get the Heyman property divided. Mr. Glisson and Miss Glisson and Hoyt Heyman and Miss Heyman was just like twins. All right. They was going to let the place, you know, go up for sale. And Hoyt Heyman gave Tom Glisson the money to go buy it in. Tom Glisson went and bought it in with Hoyt Heyman's money. And on a Sunday morning, after that, Miss Heyman went up to Glisson's and Glisson cussed her out and run her off. And told her she didn't have no place.
Now that's when they first come in.
That's right. Miss Glisson lived across the road in an old barn. Till she got the Hoyt Heyman place. Hoyt Heyman was... Boys, if y'all are in Gainesville, they can tell you all about it.
Really?
And his daughter is works up there at the livestock market.
Oh.
And she can tell you all about it. He just stole that place.
Well, now, he got a hold of a right smart property, didn't he?
Who?
Tom.
Yeah, sure.
He died in 1950, drank that poison, but by that time he had accumulated a whole lot.
Well, yeah, he come to the house and he told us that he had enough to do him the rest of his life if he never hit a lick, another lick. I said, well, that must be mighty fine to be like that.
Oh, he told you that?
Mm-hmm.
But to hear Mrs. Glisson tell us, she's cleared all that property and fenced it all by herself and made all them cows by herself.
She didn't do any such thing. That property along that road there was fenced when Miss Glisson got it, because I know I got... now, she did clear it all but an old field. That there up there next to Botanites was an old field.
Hmm.
You know where that water hole is there just across the road?
Mm-hmm.
That belongs to me.
Yeah, I know it does.
But they claim it.
Yes. I wouldn't want to be on the opposite side from them.
Well, that there highway split my property. See?
We got a good fence between them and us. That's the only place on the place where we do have a good fence.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because if one of our cows got over there, it wouldn't be our cow anymore.
How about that?
Well, now, I mean, listen, has that... I don't know what the word is, Faye. She's just looks at you like she just soon spit your eyes out.
Yeah, that's it. Domineering.
Now, where'd she get? Is she always had that?
Yeah. She's always been that way.
a little bit of business that we've had to do with her, we found out she means it.
She dealt with those cat fishermen down there sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And made money.
The cat fishermen helped her to be what she is today. She didn't do so much for the cat fishermen's, but the cat fishermen's done for her.
Marlo worked for her.
Sure.
I mean, he goes way back there, don't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he, yes. I heard her say one time that he was one of the best. I'm almost certain.
That sounds like
And he was always a good fisherman.
I think she pulled a lot of wool over their eyes, though, when they were in business.
You might have right, she did.
Yeah, because I've heard her tell some tales about way back then. You know, the way she used to pull her boners, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of?
Always for her benefit, none for anyone else.
Oh, really?
And she'd laugh about it. I don't ever want to do any more business with that woman. Never. Berman got stung with her once, and then
he
won't have nothing more to do with her. He won't help her across the street. And I'm afraid of that, but he won't.
He's going to be the rabbit